I used to have a nickname at work. They called me the Bulldog, and not because I have a pug nose and because I drool. My managers gave me the projects that were really hard to work at and were often painful to get through. They often lacked finances and technical resources, and they called me the Bulldog because I had tenacity and I had that stick-to-itiveness. Now, you might think, Mark, you know, you're losing your mind. You just gave this sermon the last time you were up here. Well, Lisa will validate, well, one or the other. But, I'm going to do the other side of the coin. Last time we talked about letting go, and today I'd like to talk about that tenacity and that stick-to-itiveness of holding on. And that's what I want to talk about. And this is not deja vu, so not having a deja vu moment. As I mentioned in our last message on letting go, you know, there's gray areas that we all have in life, you know. Some things just aren't apparent up front to us. Sometimes it takes time for life to happen and a situation to happen where we find out that, you know, maybe things aren't the way that they appeared to us. Maybe they don't seem to be really clear up front for us to make the best decisions that we need to make. It may take time for things to surface. It may take a lot of prayer, fasting, meditation, and sometimes some research and some good counseling as well. So we can combine all those things to be a better person, to make some better decisions in our life. You know, there was a time in our former church organization, and some of you experienced this along with me, that the leadership went astray, and there were some apostasies and heresies happening. They decided to change doctrine and to start to water down God's true word. And it was an unsettling experience for us. And I know some of you here went through this with my wife and I, and it's a very hard time for God's people because we love to congregate together. We've been with these people for so many years, just like we've been with you. But, you know, it came down to it, is what would we hold on to? Are we going to hold on to an organization, or are we going to hold on to the truth that God gave us? You can hold on to an organization, that's man-made. But the truth of God is God-made. And that's what you need to hold on to. That's just one of the examples that I wanted to give starting out today. But let's first turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. We need to hold on to God's truth. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, this is New Testament. This isn't Old Testament. And it says all scripture is given. The law has not been done away with. It's been expanded upon. God gave us a more knowledge and more understanding of what he was giving ancient Israel. He opened it up to us even more. Those who held this, who stuck with this, they believed scripture. Those of us that are here today, we believe scripture. We believe it to be true. And we stood by that. You know, if we're not well grounded in God's word, we can fall. We can fall. What those of us experienced wasn't anything new. I mean, that happened back shortly after Christ was crucified. There were apostasies and watering down of the word shortly after that, and after the apostles, even more that happened. So this isn't anything new, and we were kind of warned in God's word that that could definitely happen. Many people strayed from what they were taught after they were persecuted, and they went their own way back in Christ's day. And as Solomon says, it's nothing new under the sun, is it? You know, I'd like to give us seven things to hold on to today to help us to draw closer in our walk with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. You know, there can be some very difficult times in life, and if any of you are watching the news at all, and I try to minimize it, it definitely takes you down. But we do need to be aware of what's going on. But, you know, there can be some very difficult times lying ahead for us in this nation as well. And that's actually prophesied, and I think most of us know that. But point number one is, hold on to the truth. As I said, those who held on to the truth, we need to hold on to God's truth. You know, we've been blessed to know the truth today. You know, this world has not. What a blessing it is to know the truth of God when everybody else around us. I mean, what a small group of people we are. And I've always said, when I was driving to and from work, when I wasn't working from home, but I would be going early in the morning, and I would see just thousands of taillights, you know, going one way, and then the headlights coming the other way. And I would think, you know, I'm probably the only person here going to and from work that really knows God's way, except when I would run into some people in the church in their cars and things like that on 71. But for the most part, I thought, what a blessing it is to know God's truth. What a blessing it is. Next, let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. You know, humans have created their own religions, and they started their own forms of Christianity as well. We know that there's just hundreds and hundreds of denominations of Christianity today, and people claim to be Christian. You know, they've created their own gods with a little g. It's not the one true God. But we've been doing that since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve did that. Eve trusted the serpent rather than trusting God. So Adam trusted his wife, or he knew he was being deceived, so he actually trusted in himself. And they made themselves and other things their own God. They put their decisions before what God had instructed them before. So they created their own gods. And, you know, we can't be blaming Adam and Eve for that, because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of that. And we've all created our own gods in our own mind. And sometimes we even bring that into God's church. We'll bring our own idea of God rather than what the Bible's saying. And it takes time to get rid of some of that. And I know my family had been Catholic when I was a young child, so we brought in some of those things as well that are not according to Scripture. But we need to bring in what God says and believe what he says in his word, and not what other churches are teaching. You know, we've been blessed with a calling and the helper to overcome sin, and we've been given that rare opportunity to know the real God, not these false gods that are created and that man's created in his own mind, and the people blindly follow. I know that a lot of people just follow the churches that their parents were in because their parents were there. They were Protestant or they were Catholic. They just follow that because it's been their family tradition, and they don't question it. But fortunately, God gave you a different mind. You know, just that mindset is what causes the false premise. It's man's man-made false premise of what God is. They were created by humans and in their own imagination. It's not from the living word that's found in the Bible. And these are living words in here. These are living words, and they're what helps us to learn to live life. God's truth should be an anchor in our lives. And if we're anchored, and if we aren't anchored, you know, maybe that's because we're not on board. We're not on board the boat. You know, we have to be on board with what God's doing personally in our lives. God is working with you personally when he calls you. He continually searches you out, and you need to continually also search in his word. We need to build that relationship. That's his side of the conversation. We have a conversation with God in our relationship. And it can't be just a one way. I mean, it's very easy to say prayers. You know, we all want, as Mr. Thomas said before, we all want that genie, and we have these wishes we want granted. And it's not a bad thing to let God know our desires sometimes, but if that becomes the primary focus. But we also need to hear the other half of the conversation that's in this book. This provides the other half of that conversation. It can't be one-sided. We need to be a part of the crew that's on that boat. We have to be all in. That means we're working and we're being a part of that crew, and we're helping that ship go. We're helping it get to the destination. We're not just a one-person crew. It takes many members for us to be afloat and for us to stay afloat, and that's in God's congregation as well. And that's just kind of my analogy. God uses the body. We're all a part of the body. But we're all a member of that. You know, there's an ocean out there that's just daunting and deep and dark. And it's turbulent at times. And, you know, it could take people down. And if we're not prepared, it can take us down. And it's certainly taking this world down as well. The world is without a boat. They missed the boat in Noah's day, and they're missing it today. So I think Americans and our country, I think we have too much time on our hands. I think that's why we dwell on all these strange and evil things. There's too much time on our hands. But God has a way of taking care of that, because there's going to come a day where people won't have that time on their hands. They'll be worrying about what they need to find to eat next, maybe water, maybe what to wear. And God did that in some ways to ancient Israel when he took them into slavery as well. He'll take that time away until they become repentant, until they see what they're doing. And the good news is that there will be a search and recovery mission, and that everyone in this room can be a part of that. That's the awesome part about that, is that there's going to be a search and recovery for all these people. We're on board the boat. We need to stay on board. We need to hold on and remain on there. But we're going to be a part of that search and recovery that's going to be awesome. Just think of what it's going to be when we take these people in who've experienced some of the things that they go through in life, and we're going to help change them. I mean, that should really inspire us. And it's not anything we do. It's Christ in us. And it's Jesus Christ that's going to do the healing. He's going to heal the sins. He's going to heal them physically. He's going to heal them mentally and emotionally. We get to help them. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. You know, this healing will not take place overnight. It's not something that takes place overnight. It's going to be a step-by-step process. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's knowledge and their acceptance to it will begin their healing. And God's going to open their minds. Right now, their minds are not opened. God will have a time that he's going to open their mind, and that's a wonderful thing in God's plan, in his true plan, and not what some of the other churches are teaching in the world today. God has a plan to include everybody. They do have to accept that, though. So point number two, is hold on to what Jesus Christ has done for us. I think any of you who've walked this walk any number of years, we can sit down and list the many things. I've done this, I've been baptized for 40 years this year, and prior to that, I can even see where God worked in my life as a young kid. He actually saved my life several times. I was very sickly a couple times as a young kid, but I see where God intervened, and he had a plan, and he's trying to work that out in me as long as I quit being resistant, so... We all have that point of resistance, don't we, sometimes, but we're getting rid of that as we keep going. So as we near the Passover, we should focus on what Jesus did for us. We need to hold on to the things that he's done for me and you. You know, he literally gave us his all. He gave us his life. We really, nothing that we do can really pay him back for that. But he does want to see obedience for us. And the reason why he wants to see obedience from us is because he loves us. He doesn't want to see us hurt ourselves and other people as well. You know, we have a God of destiny. He's given us a destiny. And he knew that it had to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ had a destiny. He had to fulfill that. And yet Jesus divested his spiritual body to become flesh just like we are. He experienced the experiences of temptation. He had weaknesses. But he didn't sin. He did it all without sin. All I can say is how amazing is that? I mean, we all know each and every day when we wake up, I look back and I say, what did I do yesterday? Did I do that? Did I say that? I can't believe I did that. And hopefully we're moving forward and repentant and we're going on each and every day and trying to get better at it. But Jesus Christ never did that. It's just amazing. Only God in the flesh could accomplish that task. You know, he experienced hunger, he experienced torture, thirst, betrayal, and he even died for each and every one of us. You know, he gives us our daily bread and that all that we need and even a lot of our wants. And I can tell you, everyone in this room and everybody in probably in this country, you're way beyond your needs. We all have many, many wants. We've been so blessed. You know, he opened our minds now, and we have that special gift and be able to be one of those firstborn into his family. Let's hold on to our older brother, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Hold on to Christ. You know, this world's on the edge of a cliff, and Christ gave each and every one of us a lifeline. And we need to hold on to that. Jesus Christ gave us a lifeline. They don't have that lifeline yet. They're going to go off the cliff. And we need to hold on to that lifeline and hold on to it with all of our might. You know, I've meditated at times what it would be like to meet Jesus Christ in person. I mean, right now, let's not discount the fact that we need to be building that relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of us need to build that personal relationship with him through Bible study, prayer, meditation, and fasting. And we need to be close to our elder brother after all what he did for us. But what would it be like if we were there in person? And I think that's a good meditation to have, to be there that day when we're with him. And what a special time that'll be face-to-face with him. I'm sure it'll be very humbling for all of us. But he'll be very excited to see us. That's going to be a day in his life that he's going to be joyous beyond anything we could probably even imagine, and us as well. But how close are we to Jesus Christ now? You know, he holds every one of us precious in his sight. He's there through every challenge that we have, personally, every challenge that you have, every trial, every difficulty, Jesus Christ is there for you. You know, Jesus' entire life is an example, and it's recorded in the Bible. It's an example of what he wants to do for us and what he did for us. To imagine what he did for us, we can just imagine what he's going to do for us in the future. If he gave his very life for every one of us and was tortured, he was crucified, just imagine what he wants to give us in the future. He became that living example for us to follow. He was perfect, complete in every way, and he is our lifeline that we need to hold on to. Point number three, hold on to the support God gives us through others in the faith. Hold on to the support that God provides through others in the faith. You know, God gives you the blessing of having other people of like mind. Just think, if you were the only one somewhere reading your Bible and your mind was opened and you were all alone, that could happen. Some people have the truth and they might be by themselves. They might be the only one in some remote place. We've been blessed to have each other to bounce things off of, to talk to support each other and to encourage each other. We should never take that for granted. You know, we're to be a strong support family now, and God really wants us to build that family life here. This congregation is to be that light to the world of what a God family can be like. And you know, it's he definitely brought some of the most different people together in his churches. You would never probably ever get together in any social or other circumstance in life, but he brings us together for a reason. He wants us to be together. He chose us to be together in this very congregation. And that's the point I really want to make, and I think a lot of people miss that. I think it's really important to realize we are here together for that reason, to help each other, to encourage each other, to support each other, and help each other grow as well. You know, with some people, we hold on to an experience, okay? We want to hold on to these people. We hold on to an experience. With others, we hold on to the friendship. And when I say experience, I'm being nice. It's my way of saying they bring us trials, but they get us to a point where God wants us. And that's a valuable thing. It's not something to be discounted in our life. God does that for a reason. He brings people in and out of our lives for that very reason, for us and for our growth. But again, as I mentioned last time, there's sometimes we do need to learn to let go. I mean, there is a wisdom in letting go of some relationships. There are some relationships that are toxic in life. And again, those things take meditation, prayer, and fasting, and drawing close to God to know. You know, having a close friend, especially a close friend in the faith, is a really, really special thing to have. When you have someone that is a good friend of yours, brethren, I don't know, it's one of the life's greatest gifts that God could give you. Don't take that for granted. Grow it. Grow it. Grow together and nurture that. You know, God certainly brought us, again, together in some of the congregations, and I think some of us would think, you know, why are all these different personalities here together? But I think it's to help us. Now, God does talk about tares as well. God talks about tares in his word. And again, he's using that term, tares, because they are here, and God does place tares in the congregations to help people grow. That's for our growth. And here's the thing with the tares I think some of us miss is that those are the people that we need to pray for. All right, if someone is having a problem or somebody is acting like a tare, sometimes tares are not always tares, all right? Sometimes we're acting like a tare, and each one of us can act like a tare. But what it is that we have to help them along, and maybe they will not respond, but our job is to always help and not question the person. We shouldn't be questioning them. We need to help them and help them grow. Everything will come to the surface. God will work that out in the end, no matter what. He's going to work it out. He puts some tares in intentionally. And then there's the wheat, the sweet wheat, right? Which we should all want to be around. We want to be around the encouragers. We want to be around those that teach. We want to be around those who are strong in the faith. We want to be around those that help. We also want to be the wheat, right? Every one of us want to become the wheat. Then we have what I call the outliers, and this is just a Marxism. I just made it up, okay? It's just, but it's just something I've noticed through the years. And we call things outliers when we're plotting at work, when we're doing graphs and things like that. There's always these outliers, all right? Something that lies outside the main body or group, okay? So I think we can call envision like there's, and I'll use my favorite little scenario here. We have a group cluster of islands over here, okay, little tropical islands over here. And they're all together. And there's this one island way over here on its own. Okay, that's the outlier. We don't want to be an outlier over here. When a hurricane hits, we want to be over here with all the other islands and being able to help and rebuild and keep things stable and have a support. But the outliers stay over here. The outliers are over here. We don't want to be an outlier. I took that scenario. I'll give dictionary.com some of the, they gave that example of the island. I love that. Also, it said, it can also be someone who stands apart from other members of a group through different behaviors, beliefs, and their actions. So an outlier may not even believe fully. They may not behave the same as us. Maybe they attend, but they do something else when they leave here. And hopefully none of us are doing that. We're all trying to have that consistency in our life because our walk is being a Christian no matter where we are. And we need to create bonds that'll last with each other. And, you know, that takes time and it takes effort. The outliers need to come in. They need to bring themselves in. They need to enter the room and become a part of the body. And as I said before, the tares, well, you know, that's God's plan. We'll leave that in God's hand. But that doesn't mean that we stop praying for others. We need to be kind and respect and love everybody. And our goal should to become a closely woven family that reflects the family that God wants us to be in the future and today. So we need to picture that future family that God wants us to be and start living that today. We're to be the family of God now. And real families are never perfect. My family certainly wasn't perfect. But we work towards a common loving goal together, and we desire the best for each other. We're not in competition with each other. We want the best for each other. We want to help each other. That's what we should have with God's Holy Spirit. Point number four, hold on to the hope that God has given. Hold on to the hope that God's given. Let's turn to Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. All day long, our hope should be in God. God is our hope. You know, in this failing world, what else do we have? I certainly don't see mankind providing any answers. All I just see is going further and further off the cliff. You know, but God wants us to have high hopes. He wants us to have big dreams, too. He wants us to have that hope. You know, God tells us that he's going to give us something that our minds can't even comprehend someday. We can't even imagine what he has in store for us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is preparing something for each and every one of us. He loves us, and we can't even comprehend what that is. We should be looking forward to the future and the things that we can't even imagine in our wildest dreams. These things are broader and deeper than our imagination can even comprehend. Let's make sure that we don't miss out on that. But we must have that hope for that dream. The hope would come first, and then we have the dream. But have you caught that vision in your life? Have you caught that vision in your life? I think it's really important that we visualize things. I remember as a kid, and I think many of you too, and they all would get together and they would share something that you were not a part of. Maybe some pictures, they all went somewhere, they were all at camp together, or they went to Cedar Point or something like that, and you didn't go. And just that empty feeling that you had as a kid, you were like, you know, I wish I could have gone, or my parents didn't have the money to send me, and I just, you know, and you felt you missed out on something. We don't want to miss out on this. I don't want that feeling, but that feeling is probably going to lead to something even worse if we miss out. We don't want to miss out on that. It's going to be more than a feeling. But just think of that as a kid. I don't want to miss out on this. I mean, I want to be a part of something bigger. Next, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. They will find God when you search for me with all your heart. So we need to be searching for God with all our heart. We can't be lax in this effort. You know, Israel and all of us have to have a changed heart. God wants all our heart. We need to have that heart. That hope should lead to that relationship with God, and in the future, he'll instill his Holy Spirit in all of Israel and someday in all of humanity as long as they turn their hearts towards God. He'll give them that opportunity after the resurrection. Next, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. This is from the New International Version. Ephesians 1, 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy place. You know, don't underestimate the power of hope. You know, hope works in conjunction with faith, and faith can help us change our heart. It will move our heart forward. And without faith, I'm not sure that we can really have a true hope. I know every one of us have hoped for something in our lives. Everyone at one point in your life, you have hoped for something. So we know what that feeling is. You know, hope is looking forward to something with a strong desire and to have a confidence that it can happen. We have that confidence, or else it wouldn't be hope. We have a confidence that that can happen. You know, hold on to the fact that Jesus Christ is our hope. He's our confidence, and he's not a mere mortal. This is God who's saying he wants you in his life. It's not a government program, all right? It's not a person. It's God who wants you. He's there for us in every single challenge, as I said before, every difficulty, but he's also there when we experience our joyous times in life. He's there throughout. He's there throughout. He knows us inside and out. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, God is always there for us. Jesus Christ is there for us. You know, God keeps his word. We can trust him to keep his word. We can see his promises throughout the Bible. We never have to fear that he won't be there for us. And he doesn't leave people, only we leave him. God will never leave you. Only we can leave God. Point number five, hold on to the way of life that you've been taught. Hold on to the way of life that you've been taught. You know, we have the greatest blessing to have been taught we've been taught by those who've gone before us. We have good examples here in God's church. We have it in the ministry as a whole. And we have some great examples of people who live God's way. But we've also had that in God's word as well. We have those who have gone before us in ancient times, and they were people just like us. And there are some great examples. You know, the words come alive when you have God's Spirit working in you in the Bible. This isn't just an old book. It comes alive when God's Spirit is working in you. All right, some people think it's this old book of ancient things, but it's a modern book. It's applicable to situations here, today, now, in all of our lives. And they discount that because they can't see it. Nor do they read it, but they just can't see it. So you have to open the book to even start understanding that. But you know, for the young people, you have parents that have been a good example for you. Maybe they haven't always been the best example, but they're trying, I hope. I believe that they are. Some of you even have grandparents, and what a blessing that is. You know, I have parents that were in God's church, and I saw some excellent examples growing up, and that definitely inspired me and helped me in God's way. And that's a wonderful thing to have. And hopefully we're all continuing to be good examples for each other, and as we grow, I hope that that even gets better along the way. Next, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then back in verse 7, it says, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. You know, we've been taught some good things in our lives, and good things happen when you obey God. I'm not saying you're going to be wealthy or anything like that. What I'm saying is that by obeying God, you don't have to live a life looking over your shoulder. Your head can hit the pillow at night saying, you know what? Somebody's not after me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we have a walk that's worth finishing, don't we? We've started this. Every one of us here has started something. We need to finish it. We can't grow weary and lose heart. You know, this world can wear you down. And that's exactly what Satan the devil wants to do, is wear you down. We can't allow that. It's not let us be worn down. You know, despite the dark clouds that look ahead, all right, and this world's getting darker all the time, they lie ahead. You know, God's revealed the ending to us, you know, and it's a bright future despite what mankind is doing. It's a great new, it's not an ending, it's a great new beginning what God's doing. It's a great new beginning for us. The whole world's ready for something big to happen. You know, things can happen very quickly. Things can happen overnight. I think the stage is really getting set in the world. And we need to be ready for hard times, but we also need to be ready for those great times to come that God's going to give us. So yeah, there's going to be a time that it's not going to be pleasant, but there's also going to be a great time, and you need to prepare for that as well. We need to prepare for those times. It's not just preparing for maybe some bad times ahead. So point number 6, hold on to the things that God has done for you. Hold on to the things that God has done for you. You know, take a look at your life from the beginning until now and see what God's done. Take inventory of what he's doing. You know, we become a new person at baptism, and that's a changing experience. You know, we're like totally clean at that instant, and it's a great feeling. You're totally new, and it's a really, I can't explain it. I know when I was there, although it was in Rusty Water, okay, when my wife and I were baptized, people's their pipes broke. It was in the middle of winter. And they asked us if we still wanted to be baptized in rusty, cold water. And we said we wanted to be baptized, so we did it anyways. But there's something that you've different. And you have that moment, and you know it's a changing experience in your life. You've committed your life to Jesus Christ and God the Father. And it's that moment of change. So we become this new person, and even though we may not have a healthy new body, and I know some of us really want that, we're new spiritually. We have this new spiritual body, and it replaces that old person. I know a lot of people have told me, you know, that as they're getting older, I'm starting to feel some of it myself, but that they're being held together by duct tape, paper clips, and bubble gum. Got to hand it to modern science, right? They always have the fix. But let's be grateful for the things that God has done in our lives. And, you know, a lot of that perpetuates even to our family. When we're called, our families, even those blessings sometimes spill over into our families. And I've seen that in my life as well. I've been so blessed that I've been able to help others in my family and encourage them and do nice things for them. God has blessed us so much. So those blessings spill over to other members of your family, even to your neighbors and friends. So let's be grateful for those things that God's done for us and for our families. Let's not take those things for granted. If we're grateful, we're going to hold on even more. We'll see those things that God's given us. We'll hold on to those things. We'll see, you know, God is working in my life. I'm not forgetting the things that he's done for me. You know, the world's holding on by a thread. You know, they're grasping to their money, their gold, their cars, their material possessions. But, you know, we have other things that are non-material in nature. All those things are going to evaporate and be gone someday. But what we're holding on to is eternal. It'll never leave. We're grasping on to something that lasts forever. Those things will all be gone someday. And even in today, they could be gone in a house fire. You know, I had gasoline in my garage this week, and Lisa was really upset. The whole garage smelled like gas. I had to open it up. She was afraid. I said, "Don't worry, honey. I'm not smoking, so you don't have to worry about that." So, but you know, the things that we're looking for are spiritual in nature. Any of those things that they're looking to, those are all replaceable. And then someday, we're not even going to need them anyways. The seemingly intangible things like character, peace of mind, a sound mind, love for God and love for others, those will be built in us forever. once we're resurrected. Those will be the end, and those will be tangible. They'll be the things we can rely on and hold on to. We'll have those if we build them now, through good times, through bad times, and the hard times. We'll have them forever. Point number 7, hold on to the vision. I want to save that one for last. I love vision. I just sit and meditate about what the future holds for us. I talked about letting go of the past, but what we didn't talk about was the best way to do that. We need to replace the past with that vision of the future that God has for us. That's what we need to do. We need to look to that healing for the future. God's vision for the future will give us the power to let go of the past, and it'll give us the strength to hold on to the things that, yes, we can see in our mind's vision, but they'll become real to us. God's Spirit gives us that reality. You know, we look forward to that literally being the case, and we look forward to the future. God has so much planned for each and every one of you. He has an exciting job ahead with work that'll be enjoyable and fulfilling. And you'll actually have fun at work. Imagine that. Having fun at work. I have fun at work now, but, you know, our work will be enjoyable. You know, vision's been termed as the mode of seeing or conceiving and having unusual discernment or foresight. You know, we have unusual discernment when we have God's Holy Spirit. God gives us that foresight through His Holy Spirit. The way we live our lives reflects whether or not we really are seeing that vision. When we're not living it, we're not really visualizing it. If we have that vision, we'll be able to do that. Now, none of us are doing it perfectly, but we're working at it, and hopefully it gets easier as the day is approaching for each of us as we use God's Holy Spirit. You know, we'll be taking action to be more like Christ if we are. Do our lives reflect that, or are they reflecting something else? That's a question I think we need to truly ask ourselves. We can't just focus on the current conditions. We have to have that ability to be forward-looking and to see that vision. You know, angry people aren't able to do that. They live in the moment. Anger is in the moment. Now, there is righteous anger, but I will say this, it's probably pretty rare, especially in today's world. But there are times where you can be angry, but the anger of man just shows people living in the moment. We can't be living in that moment. We have to show that self-control. That's part of the things that God will give you when working with His Holy Spirit. We need to hold on to that vision. We can't have that immaturity. And God promises to us, God's promises are not necessarily in this life. All the things that He promises, some are futuristic. Some of us may never get out of our financial struggles. Some of our illnesses may never be healed in this life. However, those things will be taken care of in God's kingdom. We don't have to worry about our finances in God's kingdom. We're not going to have material things. I don't know what all we'll have there, but it's going to be better than what we experience here. We won't have to worry about our health. We'll have healthy bodies. We don't have to worry about that. You know, we need to envision the end, but that new beginning that God has given us. Even though this world's coming to an end, and that's probably not a bad thing, man's governments, but we'll have that new story, and actually it'll be a documented history, is what I like to say, because it'll be written in God's book. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Hold on to those promises that God has given us. Did you know that individuals without vision have a decreased level of energy and a decreased passion for life. We need to have that energy. We can't have a decreased vision, okay? Our vision needs to be real. The Bible clearly says, without vision, the people perish, and that's in Proverbs 29, 18. Last scripture, let's turn to Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. In closing, Psalm 37, 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Do you notice all that is about brightness and light? That's what we're going to have in our lives, is that brightness in life. Let's all look forward and catch the vision God has for us. But in order to capture that vision, we have to deal with the here and now. Let's make sure we're holding on to the right things and not the other things. Hold on tight.